Today is October 11th. So we are starting our classes after almost year and a half. And year and a half of being in the bed and sick and ill for a long time has made me think about many things. And so you will see some change in my approach and moving forward what we have to do. To give a brief outline of what I would like to do over a period of time is following. First, in a broadest sense, we'll study our ideology at the deepest level, which I think that will take almost about 2 years to complete. And then after that, we will take up specific topics in philosophy that are that will be useful, that will be supportive of our ideological practices. There is a difference between ideology and philosophy. Ideology inherently relates to a process, to a procedure that leads you to the highest psycho-spiritual achievement of life. Philosophy, on the other hand, is something that tells you what to do, what not to do. But ideology, furthermore, it is only ideology if it can establish you in a highest psycho-spiritual attainment of human life. Our concern is more with our ideology. Philosophy should only be a supportive factor so that our ideological practices are meaningful. So, over next year or two, we will go very, very in-depth analysis of our ideology and our practices that are derived from this ideology. We will try to analyze and understand the proper reasoning behind what we are doing and why we are doing, details of the procedures and experimental things that we need to do to verify ideology in our mind. We are a follower of a tantra, and that means what? As opposed to following of the Veda. Tantra means a person is by nature somebody who experiments with things. Meaning that if you learn something, you should experiment with it to see what the result is, to see if it works that way. That will tell you whether you understood properly or not. And then you can modify your understanding, and that will help you modify your practice until you get precise result. So this is the nature of tantra. You practice and you experiment and practice. You learn from your result of the practice and modify. So in this way, you come to understand what the ideology is, which means how to achieve the highest attainment of life, how to get there. Not only how to get there, how to efficiently get there. This is also very important. So with this understanding, we'll be discussing ideology for next 2 years. Basically and practically what that means is practices of our lessons, practices of all our six lessons, precision of its practice, understanding, and proper rationale and reasoning. Without proper rationale and reasoning, you will not be able to experiment with it. And you must experiment with it. But you cannot experiment unless you understand it well. So proper understanding is very important. Without proper understanding, your knowledge will become a dogma, and you will really not be able to properly practice what you think you are practicing. So deeper understanding of ideology is very important. I don't want you to be the a ship of knowledge and somebody who is strictly carrying a lot of knowledge. You don't want to be somebody who just acquires knowledge all the time. But knowledge should be spiritual knowledge. Knowledge should be about the knowledge of the self, so that this knowledge can help you in achieving Parama Purusha. So this type of ideological practice and understanding we will be discussing. That will take about 2 years, my estimate. Also, you will see I will be giving you some notes as we go further. My hope and my purpose for you to attain the class is not just for yourself, but for you to put it together for the well-being of the society and to bring this knowledge to other people. You should, then you will be in a position to take section of what I'm teaching you and apply it in a different space, different environment, so that you may spiritually serve the society. This is the reason. You will also see that within next about couple of months, I will close the class. That means people will not be allowed to attend the classes any longer, except for those people that have been coming to the class. And the main reason for that is the time is no longer with me. Time is also limited for you. And our purpose is not just learning and studying for ourselves. Our purpose is for the service of others as well. I would like for you to be very regular in attending the classes. Try not to miss them, because each classes will be connected with each other class. And if you miss some, you will not get a proper understanding and the system will fail. We are recording it, so you may also listen to it later on. I will also give you some notes, but these notes will only be very broad outline. They will help you when you are teaching the class. But those notes will not help you much if you are not in the class or if you don't make your own effort. So the notes will just be a guideline, a logical guideline. Because study should be rational and logical, fitting in proper place. So these notes will help establish that for you. So this will be another change. I'll be giving you some very, very broad notes. And with those notes, you can fill in your information. I will even try to send those notes in advance if I can. That way, before you come to the class, you will have something. I will also try to assign some reading so that you may read before you come, if you wish, so that you can receive the maximum benefit from the class. After finishing our program in ideological studies, I will be probably taking up the certain topics from Namami Krishna Sundaram book. This book is very, very important because this book teaches the core essence of devotional psychology, foundation of devotional psychology, and how we adapt our internal psychology to adapt. How we adapt it to something that will allow the natural growth of devotion. Understanding devotional foundation, how the devotion grows, what should be our outlook toward the world, outlook toward ourself, outlook toward our spiritual studies and practices. By having this proper outlook, you'll be amazed how efficiently you'll be able to progress spiritually and develop devotionally. It's a fascinating book. I've read it so many times again and again. I strongly recommend that book. But as I say, reading in itself is not going to help you. You have to think about it, rationalize it in your mind, and meditate on it, and try to capture the theme and put it all together. So we will take up on that. And then after that, we'll take on selected topics such as Brahmachakra, Sanchar, Pratisanchar, and some other relevant topics relating to mantra, mantra chaitanya, practices in the discipline of tantra, and certain things, topic by topic, we will take. But now we are talking about 3 to 4 years ahead of time. I'm going to follow this process whether or not you are here. I'm going to continue with it. I am not going to repeat the material as I have done in the past many times. I'm going to move forward because there's so much material that I have in my mind that if I don't give it now, you may never receive it. Not only that, you will need some time to absorb and take that material inside, and you will need some help from me in terms of its proper assimilation. So all of this will take some time for you. If you study this properly, if you make an effort, if you experiment with what you have learned, your progress, spiritual progress, will be not only guaranteed, but it will be at an accelerated speed. I have acquired so much of this thing from so many great family acharyas that I spend much time with, learning from some great people. Acharya Dasarath, Acharya Chandranaji, Acharya Naginaji, Acharya Dasarathji, Acharya Vishwanathji, Acharya Pratipaditya, so many great people who are very wise people. So I have preserved what I have learned from them, and also I have learned from some good old-timers, some sannyasis. So there's a lot of material that is in my mind that I really have to give it to you. I see that as my primary duty and primary spiritual service. I'm going to be less involved with the work of Voice of a Child in terms of project management, project creation, and such things, which used to take a majority of my effort. I'm going to make it a little bit less. I'm going to try to also bring some closure in my work with publication so that I can focus more on this. So please understand, things have changed. Things have changed for me. Things have changed for me for better. It has given me a better perspective over these years where I've had to think on many things. So please be prepared to move with an accelerated speed from now on. And also remember that you spent so many years with me. I don't want you to be an average aspirant. I want you to be ideal adarsh margi. And Adarsh leader, ideal leader of the society. Average level in Anand Marga, in the follower of Anand Marga, is fairly shallow in my opinion. But you must rise above all of that so that you may lead others and help evolve the whole planet. When you are spiritually elevating yourself, you're not only attracting positive microvita to yourself, to all your chakras, but you're also bringing positive microvita into whole society, cosmic society. And so you're servicing not only yourself, you're not serving yourself alone, you're serving the whole world. So be prepared from now on. If you need any help, feel free to send me emails. I'll try to answer them also. If I miss some points, I may bring it up in future talks. But in general, when I finish a topic, that's pretty much done at that point. We'll record it, we will post it on the website with a control by a password so that it's not available to everybody but those with the password. So that's my plan over next maybe 4 to 5 years or even longer. During that time, I want you, especially you both, to seriously think about designing your own class and how you can bring this, you know, intuitional knowledge to the world. It will take you some time to integrate everything, but you should start thinking along that line and make a plan so that perhaps in a 6 to 8 months you will have a framework of what it is that you want to work on and start putting it together. Now, Baba has given us so many things, and with that benefit that we have received comes a very special responsibility for us. And I'm trying to fulfill that, and at the same time telling you that this is also your responsibility. Just like when you are organizing a service project, it is, you are only successful when your student is successful in the service, not when you are successful in the service. In the same way, in spiritual service also, I am only successful when you are successful in bringing this spiritual knowledge to society, because that assures continuation generation to generations. So please focus on all of that. Having said that, let's just begin. It's been almost 1.5, 2 years. I don't know how you're all doing as far as your spiritual practices goes and overall health of your spirituality, inner spirituality. I do not know where you are. We don't meet on a week-to-week basis, so I'm not able to regulate nor able to know where you're at. So I just want to say a few words to make sure that you have not forgotten the purpose of your life, why you are here, what is your spiritual life, and where you're at. And it is you who will be able to answer that and who will be able to regulate yourself and know what is really going on. Understand that without spiritual life, your life will be meaningless. Spirituality is your understanding of yourself, deeper understanding of yourself, and it will affect everything that you're doing. It will affect your wife, your children, your family, your job, everything that you're doing. You should understand that purpose of human life is attaining Parampurush. No other being is capable of achieving that. So what is the purpose of your life? You have a human body, you have a human mind. That in itself should tell you that primary purpose of human life is attainment of Parampurush. Otherwise, you don't need human body. You could have a body of an animal, and that's fine. That will be enough. But the fact that you have human mind and human body, that means that framework has been given to you for attainment of Paramapurusha. Which means your dharma is to attain Paramapurusha. What do you think? I am Brian. I'm a lawyer. My wife Stephanie. My son Prabhat. I have a house in San Jose. This is my goal. Is that what Brian is? Yes, that's part of being Brian. That is part of being who we are. But it's a very small part. You don't know who you were last life. Maybe you were a warrior in an army, maybe you were a scientist, maybe you were a beggar. You don't know. We begin to forget that we are in transition. We are moving, we are not steady. We are moving, we are changing. And we are here today is only in a transition. You are not what you think you are, just sitting there and doing things. That's not who you are. You are something much greater than that. You are only moving on the waves. And this particular point, you are here today. So where is that Brian? Where is that I going? I is thinking this way. My house, my work, my wife, my children. This is what I is thinking. But who is that I? Where did it come from? And where it is going? This you should never lose sight of. If you don't lose sight of that, you'll find spiritual momentum in your life. Without spiritual momentum in your life, you'll not be inspired to practice spirituality. You know? You not only need the knowledge, you not only need the way. For you to be able to do something successful, you need the knowledge, you need a way, you need the guidance, you need guru, you need demonstrator, teacher. But having all of this, you still need something more. And you need that motivating factor. Inspiration. This inspiration will come to you automatically if you remember this. That I am just moving. I am riding a wave. I am not who I see I am. It's only a small part of it. This will help create a momentum in your life, spiritual momentum. And this will then help you do your practices. Not only that, you'll be amazed. And this is, a lot of this is there in Krishna book. And this is beautiful psychology explained there. Not only it will help you spiritually grow, but you'll be amazed that it will make everything harmonious in your life. Your relationship with your wife, your children, with boss, everybody, everywhere. Everything will become harmonious. You will experience humility of your heart. And you will be able to move forward in your life in a balanced way, in a way what we call prama. So always try to remember that this is not an absolute stage. You are a traveler on the path. You are not here permanently. You are just passing through. And while you are passing through, you have your wife and children and house and everything. And you should utilize all these relations of life so that you can grow spiritually, and the society, your wife, your children, everybody can grow spiritually, so that the purpose of human life is fulfilled. As I said, that the very essence and purpose of human life is attainment of Dharma, attainment of Parampurusha. Because in order to be able to do this, you need a particular type of machine. You need certain glandular development, you need certain health of chakras, certain ability of the chakras, certain propensities and their accumulation and development. It's not there in any animals. It's only there in a human being. Not only that, you will also find that you may achieve higher stages even after death. You may achieve a form of some type of microvita also. But even in that form, you will not be able to achieve spiritual liberation. You will have to come down again into human form and make an effort to reach Paramapurusha from human form. Even higher microvita, siddhas, gandharvas, they are not able to perform this meditation because they don't even have Pancha Mahabhuta. They don't have body of the five fundamental factors. They only have three factors. So human life with this human mind and body is very, very precious. Without that, you cannot achieve Paramapurusha. So your dharma is that. You should never forget that. And time to time you should evaluate you should spend some time alone by yourself and think a little bit deeply about yourself. Coming to these classes and having this very pointed type of discussion where somebody is really forcing you to think, this is important, this is useful, because it becomes a point that makes you think about these things. Because remember, it is your responsibility, not mine. It is your responsibility. And my responsibility is to make you think about these things so that you can think and you can take steps accordingly. You are all very good people, I know, very beautiful in your heart, but that's not enough. You will have to do a little bit more. And that little bit more is not going to take too much time from you. It's not going to tax you in any way. It's just going to require that you spend some time with yourself and reassess your life time to time in a deeper way. That's what the retreats are supposed to be. But when you go to Anandamayi retreat, you don't see that type of inspiration. That's the purpose of the retreat. That is why in 16 point it's been said that you should attend retreat. But retreat becomes a social gathering. Rather, retreat, like the word says, it should be something where you spend time with your inner self. You ask yourself in honesty who you are. What are you doing? Ask yourself that. So please remember that time is limited. Once the time is gone, it's not going to come back. And what even concerns me more is, unfortunately, in Ananda Marga, acharyas are not really providing this type of guidance or motivations so that people would study and practice it. It is said, but it's all right, it's here for us, it is here for you, it is here, but it is up to you. You have to take upon it and move with it. I hope that the year and a half that we went without the class, 2 years that we went without the class, that you are still doing okay spiritually in your practices and being closer to, devotionally developed, being closer to Guru, developing some inner humility. I hope you have been making progress. I hope you've been doing your sadhana regularly and making sincere effort. So please do that. Try to attend the classes regularly so that you will receive this boost and somebody will awaken you. This is also a type of microvita. Microvita affects your life and awakens you. You may be moving, not knowing what you're doing. You're stuck in life and you're spinning circles. Suddenly, power of positive microvita will shake you up. What are you doing? Wake up, wake up. So this type of positive microvita you will receive from the class. So try not to miss it and move forward with it. So, now ideology, when we talk about this ideology, what we're going to do is that we should understand that the Anandamag lessons as well as spiritual practices can be modeled after this Ashtanga Yoga given by Patanjali. This Ashtanga Yoga is a model. It is not so much a theory or not so much a practice, but it is a model of a theory. It is a model of practice. When you say model, what it means is it draws an outline that this is how you do something. That's called modeling it. If you model an economy, if you model a particular project, you go through and define the elements involved, what your goal is, and how step by step you can get there. This is the model. So Ashtanga Yoga, the way Patanjali has given, is a model of spiritual practices. So Anandamag lessons that you have learned, they are based on this Ashtanga Yoga, meaning that you can carefully analyze the lessons and see how they fit in different aspects of Ashtanga Yoga. So what we will do is we will be studying Ashtanga Yoga, but more importantly, how these lessons, how our spiritual practices are, how they are modeled into this Ashtanga Yoga. This is important because it gives us a line, tells us where we are going. The importance of model is so that you don't get lost when you are in the middle of something. You know, sometimes if you're doing something and you're so deeply involved in the detail, you forget where you're going. That happens because your model is not clear in your mind. So you should have clarity of the model. Once you have clarity of the model, then in your practices you will know where you're going, what your goal is, what you're trying to achieve. If you know and understand this, it will prevent you from becoming the victim of dogma. Dogma means ignorance. It comes about because you didn't understand what you're doing and what the purpose is of what you're trying to do. And when that happens, you cannot apply that knowledge. In order for you to apply a knowledge, you must understand. Without understanding, if you apply a knowledge, maybe it will be right one or two or three times. But each situation is different. And so then you will get lost. And then you will become like a bookworm. Well, it's in the book. Well, it says in this Charyacharya. Well, it says in this book. Well, Baba said this. Oh, what are you saying? Yes, Baba said many things. What are you saying? And why? This you should know. Baba says there is a word called Dharma Deshana. Deshana. The word Deshana comes from the Sanskrit root word is Dish. Dish means to point. Disha, direction. Dish means to point. Deshana means direction. Dharma Deshana means direction of Dharma. Dharma is pointing you that this is what you should do. You face some situation in life. What is the dharmic thing to do? What is the right thing to do? This is Dharma Deshana, Dharma points. And Baba also said that every time you face something in your life, you should not have to go to some book and confirm and consult, what should I do? You should not have to do this. And this is called Dharma Deshana. You should not have to depend on this. You should have this plan in your mind and brain, and you should know so that you can work on it. And that's the reason why we are having these classes at the level that I am teaching, because I want you to be independent in decision making. You should not have to consult anybody. You must consult yourself, and you will get the right answer if your approach is right, if your understanding is right. So that is the reason I put so much emphasis on that. So Ashtanga Yoga model is a model, and our lessons are part of this. Now Ashtanga Yoga begins with Yama Niyama. So we'll start our studies with Yama Niyama. The other elements of Ashtanga Yoga are Yama Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. Samadhi is not only the final result, but it is also part of the practice. Most of the lessons that we are practicing as a lessons are part of Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. Asanas are what we call sadhana sahayakam, pranayam. Pranayam is not spiritual practice. Pranayam is called sadhana sahayakam. That means it's a support for your spiritual practice. It is not in itself a spiritual practice. Asanas are a support for your spiritual practice. They are not directly termed as spiritual practice. And Yama and Niyama are also support for your spiritual life. So we're going to begin our study with Yama Niyama. Now, the concept, the curiosity, the first thought about Paramapurusha, first thought about this mystical entity, Paramapurusha, God, whatever you want to call, where did this come from? As humanity evolved, Baba said human being came to the earth about 1 million years ago. Australopithecus is a particular stage in evolution where we may say that that is beginning of formation, that's beginning of being a human. That's about 1 million years ago. But human civilization, Baba said, is no more than about 10 to 12, maybe 12 to 15,000 years, no more than that, which is almost coincident with last major ice age. Last major ice age was about 12,000 years ago. So what we know is a human evolution, spiritual evolution, psychic evolution is no more than 12,000 years ago, 12 to 15,000 years ago. And we may say, Baba said, that is the first sutra of Rig Veda is about 12 to 15,000 years old. And that is where humanity began to think about God. What happened? Human beings face a lot of natural calamities, fire and lightning and floods and so many things. Human being was very scared, was powerless. And in that state of mind, human being began to worship fire, began to worship lightning, water, floods, in the hopes that by worshiping and giving sacrifices to them, that they will be spared from those calamities. So that is why in Rig Veda, you see there is so much practice, so-called spiritual practices of that time, were related to the worship, nature worship. We cannot say that they were dogmas. No, that was the beginning of spirituality as they understood. And with psycho-spiritual evolution in human being, after a long time, about the time of formation of Yajurveda, period of Yajurveda, the first idea of Brahma sadhana, concept of Brahma, began to be developed from the Yajurvedic era. Vedas were there, tantras were there too. Lord Sadashiva, about 7,000 years ago, his advent was the first establishment of the spiritual seed on the planet, in the sense that he took this knowledge and made it into something that you can practice. And he gave it to the society first time. So he is the true father of human civilization. But the point is this, that the concept about Paramapurusha started coming out of the fear of the natural forces. But in due course of time, now when you worship nature, what happens? There's a fire, there's a water, there's so many external things. People are looking at these external things in a different way. And so they started worshipping in a different way. And what happened? Human mind just kept fragmenting more and more and more and more. Instead of integrating to move toward Paramapurusha. Paramapurusha is a singular entity. And you have to focus successively to narrow and narrower till your mind becomes pinnacled. Only then you can know Paramapurusha. But by practice, like nature worship and rituals, what happens? Naturally, mind just fragments rather than integrate itself. So instead of taking you closer to Paramapurusha, it actually takes you away from it. And you end up with so many conflict. This is why there was so many conflict and war in human society as a result of this. Introversive and spiritual practices are rather introversive, not extroversive. These introversive practices comes about when people begin to realize, no, you know, I need not fear. These are natural forces. Yes, these natural forces are very powerful, but then there is something even more powerful than those natural forces. And this entity is the one that I need to achieve. And in order to achieve that entity, I must achieve a state of pinnacled mind. And that is only possible by introversive practice. And this is how the idea of Dharma Sadhana came about. Dharma Sadhana means sadhana of an effort to achieve Param Purush. Baba said, somewhere around 1980s, Baba gave a talk in Patna, someplace. Somewhere in there, I believe. And Baba said that introversive movement of human mind began to evolve when the question came to human mind, and this question was, who am I and where have I come from? This particular question was the beginning point of what we call a true spiritual movement, starting point of spiritual movement. That means starting point of introversal movement. And that question is even true today. And that is what I was saying earlier, that you must take some time and spend it with yourself alone and ask yourself, who are you? Where have you come from? Where are you in your spiritual life today? And where you should be, and how you can evaluate where you are, how you can assess where you are. So this was the question that Baba said. When that question came to people's mind, then that particular branch separated from all other life force. And this branch that separated, that branch finally became human being. The other branch remained as monkeys and evolved animals, but they did not become human beings. So at the root of this psycho-spiritual evolution lies this question. Baba said that that question is the root essence of all Dharma Sadhana. That question is, who am I and where I have come from? Based on this, over a period of time, the entire process of Dharma Sadhana and Yajurveda and the teachings and innovations of Yajurveda finally developed from this point. So, Jama Niyama. When people begin to realize that introversive movement is the purpose of life, and I am a human being, and this is the purpose of my life, when they begin to understand that, they have the same question as you have today. Well, I have a job, I have to go to work, I have a house, I have to take care of my children. I have so many things to do. Where do I have time to do meditation? How can I proceed with spiritual practices when I have so many worldly engagements? They also had the same question. And that's where the development of Jama Niyama came at that point. They realized that the goal is Paramapurusha, is internally. But in order to reach to that goal, in order to achieve Paramapurusha, they have to live in the external world. They have to learn to balance themselves. They have to live in the external world so that they can reach the attainment of the inner world. Your mind is in the middle. On one side is spirit. On the other side is the material world, external world. And your mind is connected through the indriyas, through the organs, to the outer world. So mind is in the middle. Spirit is on one side. Organs are on the other side, which are at the end of your body. And through these organs, sensory and motor organs, your mind is communicating with the outer world. At the same time, your consciousness, your spirit, is also communicating with the mind. Mind has the tendency to go toward the material world. But you will have to make an effort to take the mind toward the spiritual world, toward the spirit. So your mind can be motivated by the influence of the spirit, Atma, or the mind can be motivated with the input coming from the indriyas, from the organs. So your mind is in the middle. When your mind is motivated and operates based on the direction of the spirit, this work, this action is called Shrama. And one who is established in Shrama is called Shramana, Shraman. So in Anand Marga we say the trainer is called Shraman. The work that is inspired by the indriyas, by the outer world, is called Parishrama. Whereas the one that is inspired by the inner world is called Shrama. So, Jama, principles of Jama, helps you to control yourself, to helps you to achieve this balance. Jama helps you so that you know how to interact with the outer world in a way so that your movement remains toward the inner world. This is the purpose of Jama. So, Yama begins from inside, but it is expressed to the outer world. In order to practice Jama, you need an outer world, because Jama, by definition, is a link from the inner world, beginning from the inner and expressed into outer world. That means somebody else is there in the outer world. This is called Jama. Niyama are more like a self, rules of self-regulation. For practice of the Niyama, you don't need outer entity. You can practice it internally. These are rules. These are more like a rules of self-regulation. Yama. Yama in Sanskrit means to control. It's the root word yam means to control. From the word yama comes another word, is called yantra. Yantra means a machine. What is a machine? A machine is a tool, is a device that has a specific purpose. It serves a specific purpose. And if the machine is proper, it will serve that purpose properly and efficiently. So, Yama, the principles of Yama are these machines, these yantras that will help you relate to the outer world so that you will not be degenerated in your spiritual life. If you get degenerated in practicing the outer world, you will not be able to progress internally, because you will not have requisite or required purity in order to move internally. So, principles of Yama will help you in that regard. Yama means, as I said, to control. And Yama helps you to achieve this balance, which in what we call in Anand Marga is a subjective approach with objective adjustment. It allows you to move toward the subject, your witnessing entity, your Atma, with objective adjustment. Object means the world of object, external world. While adjusting with the outer world, you are able to successfully moving, able to move to the inner world. And this process is, you are helped in this process by principles of Jama and Niyama. Jama means, as I said, a yantra. And Yama itself has five sub-yantra, five sub-machines, which are the five principles of Jama that we will be discussing. Everything is a is kind of like a yantra. Even our body is a yantra. Mind is a yantra. And the purpose of this yantra, purpose of this machine is what? It's to achieve paramapurusha, spiritual attainment. Because no other machine can do that. Tiger, lion, dog, monkey, chimpanzee. None of these machines can attain paramapurusha. Only human mind and body can achieve that. One time it says in Nigam, Nigam Shastra are the questions posed by Parvati, and Agam is the answer given by Shiva. One time Parvati asks, what is the minimum qualification for attainment of paramapurusha, supreme attainment? And Shiva replied that the minimum qualification is human mind and human body. So the fact that you have human mind and human body means your purpose is spiritual attainment. So there is another yantra that we use, and this yantra is called Bhairavi Chakra. This is the Bhairavi Chakra. What we call Pratik. Pratik is a broad term. This is not a pratik, this is Bhairavi Chakra. You look at banana and you say this is a fruit. Well, yes, it is fruit, but so is orange. Orange is also a fruit. But you say banana, then you know this is banana. Same way, this is pratik, yes, but this is Bhairavi Chakra. Pratik means a symbol. Bhairavi Chakra. Why is it called Bhairavi Chakra? What is Bhairavi Shakti? As you know, there is a Kaushiki Shakti, Bhairavi Shakti and Bhavani Shakti. Kaushiki Shakti is the state of a world of no vibration, perfection, yet all the vibration emerge from that world. So Kaushiki Shakti is a world of perfect vibration, means no vibration, zero frequency. Bhairavi Shakti is a link between Kaushiki Shakti and Bhavani Shakti. Bhavani Shakti is a world of vibrational world of vibration, world of the objects. Bhairavi Shakti is a link between the Kaushiki Shakti and Bhavani Shakti. Thank you.